we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off once again with African football. Tuesday is a big day in the quest for Cameroon 2019. There are more than 20 Africa Cup of Nations qualifying matches scheduled across the continent as teams jockey for position in their bid for a place in Cameroon next year. Now, our Voice of America listeners will remember, in terms of participating teams, Cameroon 2019 will be the biggest Nations Cup in history. There will be 24 teams in Cameroon, up from 16 at the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations in Gabon. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Madagascar's national football team, which on Tuesday beat visiting Equatorial Guinea 1-0 to clinch its first ever appearance in the Africa Cup of Nations. And Jiva Rakotahari-Malala, a 26-year-old midfielder who's based in Thailand, scored the game's only goal just before halftime. The match was played in Vanta Verona and not in the capital, Antananarivo, after one fan was killed and nearly 40 others injured in a stampede at the national stadium last month. The result gave Madagascar 10 points from 4 qualifying matches in Group A of Nations Cup qualifying and guarantees the Indian Ocean Island team a place in Cameroon next year. Congratulations once again to Madagascar going to the Nations Cup for the first time. In Group B on Tuesday, both qualifiers ended in draws. Host Comoros drew 2-2 with Morocco, and Malawi in visiting Cameroon played to a scoreless draw in Blantyre. Cameroon now leads the Group B standings with 8 points from 4 matches, followed by Morocco with 7 points, Malawi with 4 points, and Comoros with 2 points. The indomitable Lions of Cameroon have qualified automatically as the Nations Cup host in 2019, meaning only one other place is up for grabs in Group B. In Group E on Tuesday, the Mediterranean Knights of Libya are playing the Super Eagles of Nigeria in Tunisia. The Super Eagles are 3-time African champions, and they're coming off a big 4-0 victory over Libya in Uyo, Nigeria. China-based striker Odion Ighalo scored a hat trick for Nigeria. Nigeria's German manager Gernot Rohr comments on his performance.
It's wonderful to see him scoring the 3 goals, but the 3 goals are coming, of course, from the team. And for a good collective work, I'm very, very happy about it because he has been criticized in the social media.
And speaking of social media, I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of me interviewing Kofi Opari, the Ghana-born defender for D.C. United, the Major League Soccer team based here in Washington, D.C. The photo was taken by my award-winning producer this evening, Bill Werkinger.
Hi, I'm Kofi Opari, defender for D.C. United. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
In Olympic news, today, October 16th, officially marks the 50th anniversary of the iconic political protest by American athletes Tommy Smith and John Carlos at the 1968 Mexico City Games. My VOA colleague, Mariama Jallo, examines the significance of the moment in history.
October 16th, 1968, with the world watching, U.S. Olympic runners Tommy Smith and John Carlos raised their fist into the air to protest inequity against African Americans. The historic moment unfolded on the medal stand at the Mexico City Olympics, a period of tremendous strife in America.
It was occurring at a time in which there's a great deal of tension and a great deal of uncertainty about how to conduct ourselves in the same summer following the assassination of Martin Luther King, the assassination of Senator Bobby Kennedy.
Smith capturing the gold medal had just broken the world record in the 200-meter race. Carlos won the bronze. At the medal stand, the pair stood shoeless to symbolize poverty and wore beads to represent lynching victims. As the Star-Spangled Banner played, they bowed their heads and raised their fist in protest. American University race, media, and communication professor Sherry Williams says it was an act of courage and bravery.
So to have these two young black men take this moment that was really amplified across the globe and particularly here in this country and to use it to bring attention to the black liberation struggle was very, very significant.
After the 1968 medal ceremony, the U.S. Olympic team suspended the men and sent them home. But at a recent event in Washington, D.C., the pair was hailed as heroes.
Free expressions must be a continuous sound, my people, through education, because overcoming is not a dead issue. In the face of adversity, the struggle continues.
In September, Carlos returned to Mexico City to mark the anniversary of the defiant moment 50 years ago. He used the occasion to remind others that every person can make a difference.
Doing the right thing is not an easy thing to do for me or anyone else. I stood there 50 years ago in the podium with one guy had his fist up with me and another guy stood there in support of me. But 50 years of that poster being there, we three cannot change society to make it better without the help of you.
Inevitably, there are modern-day comparisons to the current U.S. controversy over NFL players kneeling during the national anthem and other protests against police brutality. The Mexico City moment is considered an inspiration.
Right now, in 2018, 50 years old, there are still individuals who sort of are protest-oriented, who look to that time for clues on how to conduct themselves now. And that just speaks to the lasting power of that moment.
We see that when athletes do stand up and step up, that it really does make a difference and it causes systemic change. And that's what Tommy Smith and John Carlos were trying to do in 1968. That's what Colin Kaepernick is trying to do today.
With their common bond of breaking barriers, Smith and Kaepernick made it a point to meet in person last fall, two men who put fighting racial injustice ahead of their own athletic careers. Mariama Jallo, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Mariama. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association tips off its 73rd season later Tuesday night, with games in Boston, Massachusetts, and Oakland, California. In Boston, the Boston Celtics will host the Philadelphia 76ers in the opening game of the NBA season. And that will be followed by a game out west in Oakland, where the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors are at home against the Oklahoma City Thunder. With superstar LeBron James going west to join the Los Angeles Lakers, that should open things up at the top for teams like the Celtics, the 76ers, and the Toronto Raptors in the Eastern Conference of the NBA. All three of those teams, the Celtics, the 76ers, and the Raptors, feature a lot of young talent. Philadelphia has two young international players rated among the best in the league: Cameroonian center Joel Embiid and Australian point guard forward Ben Simmons. And on that international note, the NBA announced Tuesday that 108 international players from a record-tying 42 countries and territories are on opening night rosters for the 2018-2019 NBA season. The most represented countries among the 108 international players are Canada with 11 players, Australia with a record 9 players, and France also with 9 players. South Sudan is represented by 2 players at the start of the new NBA season: Thon Maker of the Milwaukee Bucks and Luol Deng, who signed last month with the Minnesota Timberwolves. This will be Deng's 15th season in the NBA. He entered the league after playing one season for Hall of Fame basketball coach Mike Krzyzewski at Duke University in North Carolina. I caught up with Luol Deng in early August at the Basketball Without Borders Africa camp in Johannesburg, South Africa. And I asked Deng about the development of the camp and basketball in Africa.
I've seen the growth of it. That scene when it's just the kids and a few coaches. And now seeing it now being covered globally and the attention that it's getting, it's really been amazing. And that's credit to Amadou and the work that he's put in. I think Africa is starting to appreciate him. The world is starting to appreciate him. But later on, we'll realize when Africa gets more players in the NBA like they're doing now, people will realize the work that he's doing, and obviously the NBA for backing him up.
Amadou has specifically mentioned you as one of the guiding lights, inspirations for a new generation of African players. Do you see yourself in that?
No, definitely. I think for me, when I came in the league, I've always been bothered by almost every African player was labeled. Most of them were big guys. There was always this sense of label that, you know, African players are raw and just athletic. And I wanted to change that mindset and be a skilled player that can do a lot of different things, and for people to realize that African players can be any position. You know, I'm proud of that. I'm just glad I had the opportunity to be a part of this whole thing and to be a part of the NBA for so many years.
Masai Ujiri told me earlier that facilities is one of the main things that need to be improved for the development of African basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
No, I definitely agree. I think I'll give you an example. You could talk, you know, the talent is there. So you know that you can produce the players. It's almost like me telling you somewhere in Africa there's, you know, a land full of gold underneath the ground. Well, you're not going to get that gold unless you do the work to drill it and get it. And that's the example of African players. The talent is there over the all over the continent. It's just about putting in, you know, circumstances and situation where kids can actually be at their best, where they can be trained well. So it also about coaching, teaching the coaches how to coach these players. But infrastructure is very important. The little things that, you know, we get up every day and not think about. Most of the kids here and the kids all over the continent struggle with just the little things, you know, just even if it's as small as the right shoes to play in, and just traveling to get to a court nearby, which taking hours. And it's just, you know, there's a lot of things.
This will be the third time the NBA Africa game has been staged in South Africa. Would you like to see it maybe hosted by another African country
Yes.
in the years to come?
Yes, and I'm glad you asked that, and I've been saying that. I think the meaning of the game is to grow it all over the continent. South Africa has been a great host and great example for the rest of the continent to follow. And I think the NBA is going to work on that. I know Amadou wants it. The players want it. But it's been amazing here to be a part of this every year. But there's a lot of countries in Africa that are capable of hosting this, and they want to, and the work can be done. And the more we expand it all over the continent, the more it's going to grow basketball, the love for the game, but also the kids, the dream and the hope will become reality, not just in one country.
I know you do a lot of humanitarian work in Africa. What about South Sudan? Any trips planned there?
Yeah, right after this, I'm going to South Sudan. I'm going to Kenya, then I'm going to South Sudan.
What type of work will you be doing there?
So in South Sudan, it's crazy the list that I could go on, but I try to be brief. I'll start with, I have a basketball court with 12 hoops that I dedicated to Manute Ball in Juba. And in that basketball court, we have over 600 kids. And what we do is we mentor the kids. We create jobs for the kids. We give them school needs, whether it's books, pen, paper, bags. We monitor, we have a girls program that we just started to empower women there also, and the girls. And then I sponsor a group of doctors, and they've been doing it for 3 years, where they go back for a month to perform surgeries. And for over 3 years, they performed over 300 plus surgeries. And then I also opened up a school in Awil, a primary school that has 830 kids that I'm going to go and visit also. And then with that being said, we worked with a group, an organization called Matter, where we provided food for over 11,200 and something people, where we fed them for 2 weeks. Yeah, so it's over 2,000 and something families that we were able to feed for over 2 weeks. So I do a lot of things. I've done a lot of things in the past, and it's always been my passion. And it's not just in South Sudan. I also, with a friend of mine, I helped my friend who opened up a school in Ghana. We were there in Ghana earlier this year. We did that. So to me, it's just all over the continent.
So you really do have that sort of giving back quality.
Yes, yes, I love to.
Is that unique to African players?
I don't think so. I think, obviously, it depends how you grew up and who you are. Right, but I think giving back is part of our culture, where you grew up in a house where you had to share everything as a young kid. And living that type of life, you grow up and you realize how lucky and how blessed you were, because at the end of the day, you're not the most talented. You could call it blessed, the luckiest, however how things fell. Because for me to be here or have the opportunity to even be in the NBA, a lot of things had to go right.
Luol Deng, member of Team Africa for the NBA Africa Game 2018. Thanks for talking with us on The Voice of America.
All right, thank you very much. It's always good to talk to you.
Dikeme Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
You need to get to the net. Thanks, Dikembe. Dikembe Mutombo was born in Kinshasa, the capital of the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Big Dikembe represented that country proudly during his 18 seasons in the NBA, a career that earned him a place in the Basketball Hall of Fame. This season, the NBA will be represented by two players from the DRC, Bismack Biyombo of the Charlotte Hornets, and Emmanuel Mudiay of the New York Knicks. Taking a quick look at a few of the other African players on opening night NBA rosters, Egyptian forward Abdel Nader will be suiting up for the Oklahoma City Thunder later Tuesday night,
when his team plays the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors in Oakland. Malian forward Chek Jallo will play for the New Orleans Pelicans, while Nigerian guard Josh Okogie, who was born in Lagos, joins Luol Deng on the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, an update on the Major League Baseball playoffs. But first, this programming note from my VOA colleague, Heather Maxwell.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. Welcome back to the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm your host, Sonny Young. The Major League Baseball playoffs continue later Tuesday evening with games in Houston, Texas, and Los Angeles, California. In Houston, the defending World Series champion Houston Astros host the Boston Red Sox in Game 3 of the American League Championship Series. This best-of-seven series is tied at 1-1. And in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Dodgers are at home against the Milwaukee Brewers in Game 4 of the National League Championship Series. The Brewers lead this best-of-seven series 2-1 after a 4-0 victory Monday night in Los Angeles. The AP's Chuck Freeman reports from Los Angeles.
The Brewers survived a near hiccup from closer Jeremy Jeffers to beat the Dodgers 4-0. It's been a difficult postseason for Jeffers, who gave up the go-ahead home run in Game 2. He loaded the bases in the ninth inning with the tying run at the plate. Jeffers came back to strike out Yasmani Grandal and Brian Dozier to end the game.
I said it all year. I strive for those moments, and that's like an extra adrenaline. Don't really want it to get like that, but, you know, when those times come, you just got to stay within yourself and continue to be the pitcher you are.
The Brewers grabbed the 2-0 lead through six innings and added two big runs in the seventh on Orlando Arcia's home run off Dodgers starter and loser Walker Buehler. Milwaukee starter Yolish Chassin pitched into the sixth inning. Chuck Freeman, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Chuck. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to women's tennis, the Romanian Simona Halep is back as the year-end number one for the second year in a row, despite a back injury that doctors say could lead to long-term problems. The 27-year-old Halep won her first major title at this year's French Open, and she clinched the year-end top ranking among the women on Monday. However, Simona Halep might be forced to pull out of the upcoming Kremlin Cup and the season-ending WTA Finals because of a herniated disc. As my VOA colleague Gwen Uten reported on Monday, Serbian star Novak Djokovic moved ahead of Roger Federer and into number two in the men's tennis rankings after Novak won his record fourth Shanghai Masters title over the weekend in China. The world's number one ranked player is Rafa Nadal of Spain. Only 215 points separate Rafa from Djokovic in the rankings. And that wraps up the October 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nashwan Kali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll talk about Africa's land ownership and the challenge of land reform. We'll examine Africa's land redistribution and the fundamental issue of land inequality on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Linor Mdou, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we'll have a special discussion on women's well-being around the world. Our guest is Christina Kessler, author of the book Tales of an Inkut Swamir. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.